KATE Afternoons with Aaron on a Thursday, and we did not get a chance to catch up with him on Monday, so we're moving our Mike Grimm Monday to a Thursday. Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball and, of course, football, sports director at the Minnesota News Network, nice enough to join us today. And, Mike, a good afternoon, and how you been?
Yeah, doing well, thank you. Yeah, we have Gopher hoops last night, and we had a couple of things going on over the early in the week, so we had the Gopher basketball team. We were there Sunday for that Mississippi State game, and then we had some airplane mechanical issues and had to spend an extra day, so we didn't get out until Monday, and that was why, unfortunately, we got scrapped with you on Monday, but I'm glad to be here on Thursday. And I know did you have to get some sort of a state declaration to move Mike Grimm Monday to a Thursday?
You know, we went to the mayor this morning in Albert Lea. And we asked, he signed off on it. He said, just for this week. He goes, next week I want Mike on the Monday edition.
Nice, nice. Excellent. Well, I'll hopefully be back on Monday.
Hey, now, before we talk about the game against Michigan State last night, the Big Ten opener for our Gophers, you mentioned a Mississippi State. That's where the Gophers were on Sunday. And that was a big-time road win against an SEC opponent. I know there were some Gopher fans that – you know, looked at the Pittsburgh game, and we know Pittsburgh's going to be down in the ACC when it comes to where they're predicted to be. I thought that was still a good road win, but the road win on Sunday was very impressive. I think the Gophers might have been 7-point dogs coming into that game against Mississippi State, and they almost let it slip away. But let's talk about the game on Sunday first. I thought that was very impressive for this Gopher team to go on the road to Starksville and get a win.
No question, yeah. And just for some background and some additional info there, you know, it's the first time Minnesota has won back-to-back road games since 2017. So, you know, it hasn't been a common enough occurrence, quite honestly. And so to get back-to-back road wins, both against Power 5 teams. And by the way, in 2017, Minnesota actually had won back-to-back games a couple of times. They won three road games in a row late in that season. That was the year they got the 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament, and they also won back-to-back road games earlier in the season. But since then, they have not been really good on the road. So just that part of it is important, that you start winning on the road. And you're right, that Mississippi State team, I think, is going to be kind of a fringe NCAA team. I don't think it's a slam dunk tournament team, but there's a chance they'll be a tournament team, which would make that, you know, win even more impressive for the Gophers. And you're right, they controlled it. I mean, obviously they controlled it. They jumped out to a 14-0 lead. It got trimmed to 3 at half, and then they put it back out to a 14-point lead, and then they tied it with half a minute to go. And Peyton Willis hit the big shot to put them up and then hit free throws to seal it. So, yeah, it was a real nice win. And it's, you know, it's kind of a step in the process here. You know, it's really, even at 7-0 and now 7-1, you just still aren't that sure where this team record-wise can end up, because it's clear that there's going to be nights where they're going to be outmatched from a depth standpoint, and probably in the Big Ten outmatched from a roster talent standpoint. But they're playing the right way. Like I thought last night against Michigan State, they were getting some good shots. You know, they were playing the right way and getting open good looks out of the flow of the offense. But Michigan State has some rim protectors, and so some of those drives and scores that this team had been getting were being blocked or hindered enough to be misses. And then they just didn't hit some open threes, which they had been hitting. So, to me, it looks like a group that is together. They're getting open looks. They're playing good defense. And so hopefully they can continue. But the road win is an important step in setting that tone and that culture from here on, you know, to just this future thing. That's what Ben Johnson's trying to instill. And nobody wants to, you know, see your team lose. But I think you and I have talked about this in the past. Look, this is a team, you know, it's not chock full of, you know, 5-star prospects. And at times it might be a team that's going to struggle to score. But you can see the process part of it. And you play the 19th ranked team to a 7-point game. You win a couple of road games. At some point this group's going to upset a couple of teams and play some other teams tough. And yes, we might have to witness a night or two where if they're not on their game, they're going to get run out of the gym. And, you know, that's going to happen in a talented league. But I think it's all about setting that tone, you know, of where this program wants to go and how it wants to play. And if you can sell that, then you can talk kids into, you know, coming and playing for you that are going to be at a higher talent level, that are going to potentially, hopefully, you know, elevate the program. So it's all part of it. But yeah, and I bring all that up as a backdrop to your initial question on this very long answer by me, that a road win is important. That's part of the process of being a really good program. You have to win road games. And so no doubt that that's a good lesson to learn early is how to win road games.
The game you heard last night on KETE, Mike Grimm on the call, of course, and Mike just mentioned the loss to a Michigan State, 75-67, ninth-ranked Sparty comes to the barn and beats our Minnesota Gophers. One thing that I heard during the television broadcast last night, Mike, is that one thing the Gophers have struggled with, and you touched on again, they did not hit their threes last night. They had a lot of good open looks, but could knock them down. Rebounding. And you mentioned the guys inside for Michigan State. That seemed to be a big key for a Michigan State, just being a bigger, maybe a stronger inside. And it sounds like rebounding's been one of the weaknesses of this team so far this season.
Yeah, particularly offensive rebounding. You know, they don't have the height. And so they are right now, they're being, you know, basically they're not crashing the offensive glass at all. They're, if a shot goes up, they're basically conceding the defensive rebound to the other team, retreating to get back, and playing good half-court defense. Now, they have picked and chosen their times as when they want to crash, including, you know, the game-winning putback at Pitt. You know, obviously with the game on the line, you're going to crash the boards, and it worked that time. So their offensive rebounding numbers are not good at all. They just and that's by design, whether you like that or not, that's by design. They want to get everybody back and settled in on defense. So they just don't crash the glass much offensively. Then on the flip side, weird enough, they're one of the top defensive rebounding teams in the country. So they have done a really nice job of keeping the other team to mostly one shot attempt. Now, it got a little, there was a stretch when Mississippi State was making its comeback, making its run, where the Gophers gave up some offensive rebounds and some second chance points. But by and large, they've been really good defensive rebounding. In fact, just even statistically last night. So Michigan State is always under Izzo, is one of the best rebounding teams in the country. I think they're a +8 or something like that rebounds margin, which is pretty good. But if you break it down, Minnesota and Michigan State each averaged 29 defensive rebounds heading into the game last night.
Oh, wow.
Michigan State, though, averaged 11 offensive rebounds and Minnesota averaged 4. So there was your 7 rebounding difference. So defensive rebounding has been really good, but they just have chosen, and again, it's a strategy. It's a choice that they have made, that they're just not going to crash the offensive glass and risk getting beat on the other end on a transition basket. So they'll pick and choose their times, but that's and talking to Ben Johnson about it, that strategy may change as the future of the program moves forward, but right now they feel that's the best strategy given the roster that they have.
Mike Grimm, voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball, football, and of course, sports director, Minnesota News Network, joining us on a Thursday instead of a Monday this week. And Mike, let's turn our attention to the football team. And we found out on Sunday, Guaranteed Rate Bowl, and that is the bowl that you were talking about that you thought the Gophers could end up in, maybe probably would end up in. They're going to be playing at the home of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Chase Field, coming up later this month. I'm going to ask you, and we talked about this last week when it comes to the pecking order. And I've had listeners ask me, so exactly how did this work? Now, there is not a set in stone when it comes to a bowl has to choose a certain team based on where they finish in the standings. It's the bowl's decision to invite certain teams in a certain group. I mean, exactly how does the pecking order work? Because if you go on based on what bowls are considered better bowls than others, and I think we talked about this as well, Music City Bowl, Pinstripe Bowl were probably above the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, and you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
Go through the process one more time with us, because, again, it's not just straight easy. You go down the line and go, okay, this team finished second, so we take them, this team finished third, and so on. It's not like that.
No, there's a lot at play. It's not as it used to be often about, you know, how many tickets could a school sell. And that has become less important now. It's still important and it's a factor, but I think there's a number of things going on right now. It's so expensive to travel around Christmas time that it's almost impossible for even the really big time schools just to sell 50,000 tickets, you know. Even like I recall, who was it, Wisconsin? Now, they had been to several Rose Bowls, but was it last year? I'm trying to remember. Maybe, in 2019, they went to the Rose Bowl. And it was the prices were so crazy, flights and everything else, that they ended up not selling as many as what they traditionally had. So, you know, that's part of it. That said, Wisconsin got picked ahead of Minnesota despite losing to the Gophers in the bowl pecking order. So ticket sales a little bit is a factor. Now it becomes more along the lines of matchup. What's going to get us the biggest TV rating? Because that's where much of the revenue comes now, is through sponsorship opportunities. And the more people that watch the bowl game, the better. I do think this will be, you know, it's a prime time game. It'll be the only game on a weeknight, the week after Christmas. I think that there'll be more eyeballs on Minnesota than some of the bowls that are ahead of them, you know, in terms of the pecking order. And, you know, the Big Ten, I think, has done a nice job of putting a collection of bowl games together, that when the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, you know, say what you want about the name, that's obviously the sponsor, you get to go to Phoenix, man. You know, if you're a Gopher fan and a college football fan, and it's late December and you're in Minnesota, that's a pretty good destination if you want to watch your football team play. And so that that was part of it. There was a number of reasons why I thought it would come down to Vegas or Phoenix. And I think we had talked about it even before the Wisconsin game. And part of that was Penn State. Remember, I told you that the Penn State thing was, they're the wild card in the whole thing because they're a blue blood. You know, they're a helmet school. And how often are some of these bowl teams going to get a chance to pick them? So I thought that Nashville might take them because my thought was how often are, one, Nashville's in every other bowl year for the Big Ten. They get the Big Ten team every other year, so they don't get a Big Ten team every year. And then when they do, how often is Penn State, a helmet school, going to fall to them? Well, as it turned out, not only did Nashville not get a chance at it, because the Outback Bowl took that page out of what I was talking about. Yeah. I did not anticipate that. I thought Wisconsin was going to be the pick there, and the reason that was because there's also a factor that the Big Ten allows some leeway in trying to get teams to different bowls. You know, it got in the late '90s, early 2000s, it got to be like Iowa and Wisconsin. And basically they were going to Tampa and Orlando every year. And it's like, you know, even there's some fatigue there where, hey, send us to Texas or California. And so they've kind of implemented some rules, which is why I thought the Outback Bowl, you know, statistic or standings wise, it's probably where Minnesota should have gone, right? Based on head to head competition and records and everything else. But the Gophers were just there in 2019 and had a really good showing. Lots of fans. It was a better attended game than the year before when Iowa and Mississippi State were there. That said, they said Penn State gives us a chance. Penn State had not been in that bowl game since 2011. And again, that's all part of it. So they could. I thought Nashville couldn't pass up it. The Outback Bowl decided they couldn't pass it up. So they took a 7-5 Penn State over 8-4 Wisconsin, 8-4 Minnesota, 8-4 Purdue. And you know, that's that. So then that left Nashville and on down the pecking order. Nashville was, had been locked in to Purdue apparently from almost the get go because it's a drivable thing and they do want to sell tickets. And I also think Purdue had, you know, two big wins this year and they have an exciting pass happy offense that, you know, could do well. Now, the last time they were there, they got absolutely torched by Auburn. They were down like 56-3 at halftime or something. So, hopefully for the Big Ten's sake, they put a better showing forward. So then it came down to Vegas, and Vegas, I think, felt that Wisconsin, you know, let's face it, Wisconsin has had a better track record over the last 20 years, and they do travel well. And Minnesota's traveled well this year as well. But when it comes down to that situation, Vegas decided Wisconsin would be the place. And I'm guessing Vegas places are stocking up on brandy as we speak with all those Wisconsin people heading out there.
A lot of old fashions going to be drinking in Vegas later this month.
Hey, and it's brandy. You know, most of the country drinks bourbon, right, with their old fashions. But if you're in Wisconsin, you dang well better have some brandy for your old fashioned. And that's why I only half jokingly said it, because I doubt that they have enough brandy in Vegas to fulfill the need of consumption there for that week of bowl week. So hopefully they're smart enough to stock up on the brandy out there.
They're doing their Google searches as we speak to make sure they're prepared for all the right drinks for the Scotties when they come out to Vegas.
No doubt.
And I appreciate the breakdown. That makes a lot more sense. And again, the Gophers will take on West Virginia in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl coming up on December 28th. Now, Mike.
And Scott, Adam, I'm going to call you five different names.
That's okay.
Fun of it here. But the other thing I'd add in there is that you're right, that the Pinstripe Bowl picks before, but that was definitely a trade-off. The Gophers weren't that interested in going to New York, I don't think. And Maryland was not that interested in going all the way out to Arizona. And the guy that runs the Arizona Bowl game, so the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, as you mentioned, is played in Bank One Ballpark. And and that's run by the Fiesta Bowl. That bowl game is also run by the same committee that runs the Fiesta Bowl. And the head of the Fiesta Bowl is a U of M grad. He's from Minnesota. Mr. Neely, I think it's Mark Neely, maybe is, I can't remember his first name, but Neely's his last name. And he really was pushing for Minnesota. He wanted the Gophers to come to that bowl game. And so there was a little trade there. So people who say, geez, they picked Maryland over Minnesota, that was kind of a behind the scenes from the sounds of it. That gotcha. Was kind of an arrangement. Like, you know, Maryland's 3 hours from New York. Their fans will be able to have a much easier trip to go there. And I think the Gophers were thinking, if Yankee Stadium wants to take Maryland, let's do that, because our fans, I think, would rather go to Arizona, and the Arizona guy would definitely like the Gophers to be in that bowl game. So, and it's a good bowl. Like I said, I think the Big Ten's put together a good lineup. When that is, you know, down the pecking order a ways, and you get a nice Big 12 opponent in a warm place in late December, and you're in Big Ten country, that's a good game. So that was the final thought I had, Aaron, on that, is in terms of that pecking order and how it all works. So Gopher fans should not get bent out of shape about it. It wasn't that Maryland got picked over Minnesota for that. That was kind of a behind the scenes, hey, this makes sense. Why would we send Maryland to Arizona, especially when Minnesota would prefer to go to Arizona, you know, over New York City. So that was all part of it as well.
Now, Mike, did you just say, what's the name of the ballpark down in Phoenix now? It's no longer, I can't keep track of them. It's not Chase Field. It's Bank One. What did you say?
Yeah, actually, I don't know which one it is. It was Bank One Ballpark. They called it the Bob for a number of years. And actually, I think that's what it used to be. I think the name now is Chase Field. So if I said Bank One, that was just because I'm old and I threw back to, you know, 2006. I believe it used to be Bank One Ballpark. And then, like what we've seen here with the Gopher Stadium, you know, I think Bank One got bought out by Chase and it became Chase, and there might have been another name change in there, but I think it's Chase Field now, if memory serves me correct. But it used to be Bank One Ballpark, so my apologies if that slipped out. So that was the name back when it first opened, I believe.
I can't keep track. There's so many naming right changes when it comes to the stadiums. I can't keep track of them. But We know it's where the Diamondbacks play, and that's where Minnesota will get West Virginia. Mike, before I let you go, your thoughts on tonight's Minnesota Vikings game. You got to call it a must-win after they stubbed their toe on Sunday against Detroit. Pittsburgh is kind of in a, I wouldn't say a must-win, but every game is just as important for them as it is for us. I should mention I got some family things going on this week, so I won't be running tonight. So if you see the G slip and fall, it's not me. It's somebody
not
else.
You.
It's an imposter. It's not me.
Yeah, well, I will pay close attention. I hope they don't Wally Pip you. I mean, that would be terrible, right? I mean, what if the G has his best night ever? I hope they don't say, look, Aaron, that, you know, we love what you've done, but take a look at this film. Look what this G did here. No, I'm just kidding. But, well, that's okay. You know, Thursday night, you know, it's late night. You got a decent drive there. You know, and you got, you know, I'm sure you got responsibilities on Friday with the station. So yeah, totally understandable. It won't be the same. I'm sure the G will be a few yards off lineup, you know, it won't exactly be, you know, what it should be, but
there's no doubt, but, no doubt in my mind.
Know, no question. But as far as the game, you're right. It's a must win. I mean, the Viking, I almost said Gophers, the Vikings now must, I mean, you know, the playoffs, obviously the goal, they put themselves in a spot now where, as crummy as the, it reminds me right of last year, as crummy as the NFC was, and you're going to hang out, there's an extra playoff spot and, you know, you're in it, but you're still, you need help. And quite honestly, I'll tell you, the mood, I think, changed a little with that loss to Detroit, just from a acceptance standpoint, if that's the right word. Like, I think that there is a growing heat on the head coach and the coaching staff at this point too. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not in any position to, plus nobody cares what I think, but hey, fire this guy, fire that guy. I will say this, if they lose tonight, they're in a really tough spot and that heat really gets turned on. Whether you like that or not, it's just reality. And so, yeah, from a bunch of standpoints, they're probably going to want to win this game tonight. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Mike Grimm, voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball and football, and sports director, Minnesota News Network, usually joins us on a Mike Grimm Monday. Nice enough to join us on a Thursday instead. We'll hear from Mike coming up this weekend when the Gopher men's basketball team, they'll try to bounce back from that loss to Michigan State. They'll go after the other Michigan team in Ann Arbor, 5 o'clock pregame, 5:30 tip-off on Saturday, Gopher men's basketball against Michigan. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Go get us a Gopher win on Saturday, and we'll do it again on Monday.
You got it, Aaron. I may not go to the game now tonight because I know the G is not the guy. So we'll, I may watch from home now.
No, you got to go, Mike. You got to go.
All right. You talk me into it.
Hey, have a good one. We'll talk next week.
Okay. Sounds good, Aaron. Thank you.